Gracious God, we ask for wisdom that during this sermon that your word may be proclaimed and we may be continually strengthened to go and follow the star. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you walk into a grocery store in England and you go to the peanut butter section, maybe some section, you're going to find a little thing called Marmite in England. Now, some of you may be familiar with Marmite. It has its Australian cousin, Vegemite, which was popular in that Men at Work song. Remember Vegemite Sandwich? Y'all remember that song? Down Under. Marmite and Vegemite are this dark brown sticky spread that you put on bread or bagel, carb of your choice that day. And it has what most would consider to be a very unique and distinct flavor. For those who hate it, they say it has a horrible flavor. For those who love it, they go, it's the best thing in the world. And it's a very divisive thing. And in fact, Marmite, catching on to this divisiveness of their product, have even ran commercials advertising saying, either love it or hate it, it's still Marmite. We'll always be there. I've never had it. I'm sure it might not be a good day. Anyone in here had Marmite or Vegemite? You've had it? What was it? Not good. See, Nancy's not proof. She's in the hate it. And it's incredible how this little jar of salty, bitter food spread can provide two extremely strong and opposite reactions in different people. Now, we expect that in our world there will always be certain things that are so extreme or so focused that they will attract some people and turn others off. This happens all the time. You go see a movie and one person was like, oh my gosh, that was so great. And the other person said, what are you talking about? That was a waste of 2 hours. I want my money back. Or paintings or sculptures where people, you know, some people label it a masterpiece and other people will say, oh no, that's terrible. We see it happening in the world of politics where candidates and ideological stances, there's no middle ground. It's all one or the other, right? But more importantly, we see it happening with God. Throughout the Bible, when God acts, we see those who embrace what God is doing and those who resist it at all odds. Think about Jonah, right? God calls Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah does what? Runs away. No, I don't want any part of this. I don't care what you think you're doing there. I'm not going with you. And runs away. Think about even faithful followers like Moses and Jeremiah, who early on resisted God's call, pushed up against it, said, no, not for me, but eventually came on board. Even in Revelation chapter 6, there's a scene where God has unleashed all these terrible things onto the world, and all the powerful people, the princes, the generals, the kings, the rich and the mighty, they run to a cave and they cry out to the rocks, oh, rocks, fall on us. We don't want to have to follow God. We don't want to even think about repenting of our sins. They would rather die than get on board with what God is doing. God's actions are so powerful, so unavoidable, so life-changing, it forces everyone to respond to it in one way or another. Either you love it or you hate it. Now, this is what we encounter here in this scripture, right? Jesus is born, appears. The wise men follow that star. They show up to Jerusalem and they tell Herod, hey, the king of the Jews has been born. Herod, instead of wanting to follow that star, responds in fear. And then eventually later on, with brutal violence, killing all the infants in that area. The wise men, however, they see this star. They see, they know that something has happened, that God is doing something new, and they don't respond with fear or violence. They say, how can we get on board? How can we see what God is doing and be a part of that? And it leads them to follow that star and eventually leave that place, telling everyone the good news that they witnessed. Two very different reactions to the exact same event. This is the challenge of this text. How will you respond to God when God is on the move? Will you resist with all your might, hoping that God will just give up? Oh, God would just be like, okay, I'll stop trying to get you, okay? Or will you embrace and join in on what God is doing, the new thing that God is doing? We know that God often pushes us to change before we're ready, yet God does not wait until everyone has God's approval, right? I mean, think about that. God, if God's going to do something, God's going to move forward. God's not going to wait for you to jump on and say, all right, I'm ready now. I've gotten all my finances in place. I've gotten all this worked out. Boom, boom. It's like having a baby, right? There's no good time. There's no good time for God to act. God just acts. There's no good time for the baby to show up. Exactly. The baby, you just have to have, you know, God's working. So this is the reality, that God just does it and asks us to join in. Scripture's clear. God can work with us or without us. And we have a choice to resist or join in. And most of the time, if you're like me, you resist. You resist. We resist because we're scared of shaking things up. We're scared, afraid to lose control or lose our power or comfort. We're afraid that we might have to disturb our routine. Yet even through our resistance, God finds a way. God keeps moving. There are these bad guys in Star Trek called the Borg. Have you ever heard of these characters? The Borg, they're these little robots, and they're really evil, they're mean. And their one saying in this show is, resistance is futile. Resistance is futile. Now for them, that means we're gonna take you and you're done, you know. But think about what that means for God. Resistance is futile. God is on the move. We can sit here and say, oh God, I'm not ready to be a part of this. I'm going to keep pushing up. I'm going to keep resisting all day long. But the resistance is futile because God is going to work no matter what. God is always on the move, with or without us, and we have a choice. That's the power of the scripture, because it pushes us to figure out whether we want to continue to try to stop God, which we know at the end will be pointless, or at worst, like Herod, it'll be destructive to our fellow human beings. Because God's train is leaving the station, and God wants you on board. We went to go see Polar Express at Cosi a few weeks ago with Henry, his only second ever movie, by the way. And there's a scene in that book and the movie where the Polar Express shows up. And the conductor comes out, and the boy's out there, and he's like, "You coming? The train's leaving. We got to get to the North Pole. I got a schedule to keep. Elves are ready to dance in the streets of the North Pole. We got to get going." And the boy kind of sits there for a minute, thinking, "Am I going to do this or not? Am I going to get on board with what's about to happen tonight?" And he manages, just as the train is about to leave, to get on board, to be a part of this exciting adventure that is before him. That's the same for us, for God's adventure, for God's journey. Here at First, we never know when God is going to shake things up, and you all know that. God can shake things up in an instant and change everything. And it's happened here at this church many times before. You all who have been here long enough know that things can get shaken up quick. And God will challenge us even further constantly to live out our faith in ways we may have never dreamed it possible. And God may be asking us to do something so radical and different that we are used to, something seemingly impossible for us to accomplish. Yet, when these challenging calls come from God, how are we going to respond? Will we lash out in fear and resist at all costs? Or will we respond? Will we embrace the new thing that God is doing, trusting that God will remain faithful as we step out into the unknown? So I don't know who the first surfers were, but think about the people who decided to get on a longboard. And they think it started like Hawaii or somewhere like that, some island. And these folks came out with these longboards and said, "I'm going to surf these waves." And these folks, instead of fighting the waves, went with the waves, right? They went with the waves. They got on these surfboards. Yeah, see, we get a little bit of back and forth, you know. I feel that pain. Resistance and embrace. But think about these surfers, right? In order to surf, you have to catch a wave. And you can't fight the wave because the wave's going to beat you up one way or another. But if you're a good surfer, you figure out how to work with the wave and then surf it. We have to learn, like those early surfers, how to work with God's movement. Because like a wave, God is powerful. God's doing things that, oh boy, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I don't think so. We got to figure out how we can get ourselves away from that fear and anxiety and work with God. Jump on board with God, so that we can see new things happen in our lives and the life of this church. So let us go surfing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.